Hey there, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We're always online at npr.org/Bryant Park. We like to intro our segments that we do here on the show, but every once in a while there's a segment that is so profound, so compelling, it needs no introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the most.
I think that was an introduction.
I.e. yeah, a cop-out.
I don't understand what this segment's supposed to be about. What am I supposed to do?
Then you're excused from the room, Ian. You've been here long enough to know. Okay, I will reiterate. These are the most emailed, most read, most viewed stories on the internet. Okay, you're going to start since you were such a
Somehow
smart
you have an example of this segment that you didn't even understand. Let's see if you got it right.
Let's not split hairs. This is the most most popular from the Minot Daily News in North Dakota. It's about Cheyenne Myers. She's the only graduate from, Newberg United High School there. She's the only one. So she's the valedictorian.
She's one person in her entire
she's
graduating
She's the only
class.
One graduating. Okay. She'll
she's
be making the speech at graduation.
That's not
she's
because everybody flunked. That's because there's only one.
No, there's only one. There were two last year, but the other student, half the class, transferred to another school.
They,
because she was getting picked on by the popular clique.
Yeah, yeah. And now Cheyenne is actually, she's all the popular kids and she's the one they picked on.
Yeah, and she's the outcast. So in the movie of
the
high school version.
She must have to kick her own butt all the time.
Yeah, yeah. It's good though, she's most likely to succeed. Also most likely to fail. She's the jock, the burnout. She plays volleyball. I don't know how many other people are on the volleyball team. Other classes at the school have... around
volleyball,
you know, seven,
very
eight.
Tough sport for an individual.
It is. It
because
is.
If
it's
you
not...
set the ball, you cannot spike the ball.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
probably plays yeah. with
they
other
might have
people,
Minot
guys.
Rules.
Yeah.
They play by Minot rules.
Minot rules.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
So great.
I
great
find that
for her.
She'll be. Yeah. She'll, like I said, she'll be making the speech. It's going to be a very short ceremony, the graduation.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
She'll hold it in her living room. Rachel, yeah. what you
okay,
got?
Okay. Moving on. You know what? Happier people are. Uh-huh. Generally older people. This is according to one of the most emailed stories at CNN.com. And this new scientific study, University of Chicago, they're smart there. Their study says that most of the time when you get older, you begin to lower your expectations about what should be happening
yes.
in your life. And you desire, the things you've desired when you were younger, you kind of realize, I'm not going to be Christie Brinkley. Gosh, that's really dating me, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not going
to Or you're terrified that you may be Christie Brinkley.
Yeah. Yeah. When
I'm
was
not
going to
be
you,
Sanjaya.
Right.
I
will
am
not
gonna
be Zsa Zsa Gabor.
A radio host. No,
or Swedish Nightingale Jenny Lind.
You learn to be more content with what life has dealt you. I don't find this sad at all. I think that part of the angst of being young is knowing that you have all these choices and possibility, and it can kind of paralyze you and make you afraid and discontented. And as you get older, you release that into the ether and you just are. That's my little Zen moment, okay?
I like it. Also, you know that Disney's not going to be targeting you with a new version of High School Musical. That, I think, is relaxing.
That'll make anyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
Tricia?
Trisha.
Hello. Okay, I have, again, on your Google Trends, mm-hmm. the number 7 item today is the name Sue Simmons.
Sue Simmons, beloved Live at 5 anchor Sue Simmons?
Yes, also the anchor of the 11 o'clock news in
That's
here
just
in New
York,
York City.
Here, folks. Yes. Yeah.
WNBC,
I got it,
long-time
I got it.
Anchor.
I got it. Okay, Sue Simmons is a local news anchor here in New York City. She anchors the 11 o'clock show, and it's important to know that because here's what people were searching at about 11 o'clock last night. Sue Simmons curse. Sue Simmons curses. Sue Simmons apology. What did Sue Simmons say? And finally, YouTube. So, what did Sue Simmons say? Hit it, Josh.
At 11, pay more at the grocer, but getting less will tell you how to get the most. The f*** are you doing?
So, apparently,
Context.
Well, not apparently, I actually heard it, the unbleeped version. She did drop an F-bomb on the air. It was during a promo for the 11 o'clock news last night. And no idea why the F-bomb was dropped or what the bleep somebody was doing. But she did come on the air at the 11 o'clock newscast and apologize. And so now if you go on the WNBC website, the top 2 most popular stories, number 1 is apology, where she says, I have to acknowledge that I used a word many people find offensive. It was a mistake and I'm truly sorry. And the number 2 most popular story on WNBC is her bio. I think people are looking to see if she still works there.
Or like, are there any examples of her past that could have led us to this point? What explains this outburst?
I think anytime a news person accidentally swears on air, it should be called the Sue Simmons curse.
Well, and here's the thing. I feel really weird about reporting on this because, you know, now we're bringing all that down on our heads. Like, this is live radio.
Knock wood.
Little known fact that NBC political reporter Gabe Pressman used to open for Lenny Bruce in the 50s. He worked blue at the time.
That's not true.
That's a joke that only New Yorkers will get and most of them won't like either. Okay, very good.
Damn. Save Mike from himself.
Right? I'll do what I can. Most emails on Yahoo, New York man sues airline over a flight spent in toilet. I guess he
told me he was flying JetBlue.
Yeah, he wasn't impressed that he didn't have to wait in line for the bathroom. He was told there were no more seats in the flight, and he said, "What do you mean? I got a ticket on this plane." They said, "All right, look, well, there's a flight attendant. She'll fly in the jump seat. That's that special
fold-down." He was flying standby, we should say.
He says he thinks he had a ticket, but maybe he misunderstood. Right. Okay. We'll leave that up to the airline to explain. But so they said, "All right, look, you can have a seat." The flight attendant will sit in the jump seat. Hour and a half into the 5-hour across the country flight, the pilot says, "Look, the flight attendant, she's unhappy, she's uncomfortable. You're gonna have to go sit in the bathroom."
And the guy's like, "Flight attendant is uncomfortable."
Right, and so so this gentleman was very upset. He put up a fight. The pilot basically told him, "Tough buddy, I'm the pilot." This is according to the lawsuit. He allegedly told the man that, and he ended up spending the next 3.5 hours sitting in the toilet. On this JetBlue flight without a seatbelt, which is in violation of federal law.
Did he get beverage service?
Yeah, peanuts, anything?
That is not stated.
Not disclosed. I don't know.
He didn't get TV, which is the best reason to fly JetBlue.
Yeah.
So
Like how often they cite FCC regulations about not crossing your legs that they shouldn't have the leeway to do that, it would seem to me. But I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to make money.
Good. Matt Martinez, you're wrapping up the most today.
I am. I have one of the most emailed stories at NPR.org right now. It's headlined, "Denver Drivers Learn How to Boost Fuel Economy." I know, exciting. It actually is very exciting.
Silence befalls the room.
The story is reported by Zachary Barr at Colorado Public Radio. It's about how some Denver residents are using this gadget in their cars to help them drive greener. Here's the story.
In the 80s teen movie License to Drive, Corey Haim is Les Anderson, a teenager desperate to get his driver's license.
"Buckle up, son. It's the real world out here."
When Les Anderson's at the DMV, the examiner gets into the car and places a hot cup of coffee on the dashboard.
"Now that coffee's hot, filled right to the brim. If it spilled on me, probably burn me, huh? Speak up, son."
Yeah.
"Nobody likes to get burned, do they?"
"No."
The examiner then declares exactly how he'll score Anderson's driving test.
"So it's real simple. You burn me, you fail. You don't, you pass. It's as simple as that."
Well, right now in Denver, a similar sort of driving test is taking place. The goal of this test, though, is learning that your aggressive driving behavior, say, the kind that makes you spill a cup of coffee, is linked to excessive fuel use. Ron Adamczyk is one of a couple hundred volunteers to sign up for the pilot program called Driving Change.
Kind of three areas of aggressive driving. One is overspeed, over 60 miles per hour, hard braking, and fast starts.
When Adamczyk brakes too abruptly or takes a corner too quickly, a device in his pickup sends data to a website. And today, he's online checking out his driving stats for the first time.
So we could see a few days ago, I drove approximately 22 miles, and then also showing me my number of events for aggressive driving. So on that day a few days ago, I had 3 hard braking events.
This information is important to Adamczyk. He says the folks running the program claim a 10 to 30% fuel savings is possible just by adjusting driving habits. Adamczyk's truck gets about 12 miles to the gallon around town, so he's especially keen to save money on gas. David Armitage is the CEO of Cardasite, the company that makes the hardware.
"This was the first attempt anywhere on the planet that we're aware of to correlate driving behavior to greenhouse gas emissions."
Collecting data from several hundred vehicles is key. That's because the program's goal goes beyond just rating individuals. Armitage says the data will help define aggressive driving.
"The goal of her study is really to enable us to define that shape of that bell curve and understand what normal behavior is. Once we've done that, we will take that information and we can put it right back into the device."
A device that will tell you if you're braking more, speeding more, or even idling more than the average driver. At that point, Armitage and his partners hope to have a product to sell.
"We believe that the next generation of this device will actually be inside the cab of the vehicle and will have a small screen on it."
That's still a ways off. In the meantime, Ron Adamczyk says just knowing the device is watching over him makes a difference.
You know, I know now the light's red to glide to the stop. I know that my rapid starting, I'm not usually first in line, so that's not going to help. I would say my driving habit has improved in 10 days just by knowing this is installed in my car.
He says even improving merely a mile or two per gallon would be great. And he's not ready to trade in his truck just yet.
And that is Zachary Barr from Colorado Public Radio reporting. You can find this and all the stories you hear on The Most at our website, npr.org/Bryant Park.